Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome again here to Circles of Change, our final segment. It's always a pleasure to call back to Motor City, USA, my roots, and speak with a colleague I've known for many years, Wendell Somerville. How are you this afternoon, Wendell?
I'm doing great, Zara.
Terrific. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Wendell is an automotive engineering technology manager at General Motors. He's also a fine arts photographer. Known to have a talent for getting things done quickly and cleanly, Wendell builds great teams and focuses on thoroughness without sacrificing time. And in his first career as engineer, Wendell has experience in product design, research, development, application integration on quite a roster of exciting car projects, and with some specific expertise in the whole integrative front windshield wiper system, as well as test and validation. Wendell also is a self-made computer wizard, always staying one step ahead of the technology curve. He's currently, in fact, in the process of adding a master's in information technology to his mechanical engineering academic upbringing. The reason that would attracted me to call Wendell and have him come on the show is for our listeners to understand he actually has and is continuing to integrate two full-time careers, because on the other side of the equation, his artistic background, which includes photography, fiction writing, drawing, and painting, adds a unique point of view and a flair for some real out-of-the-box thinking. Wendell's other full-time career, thus, is being a photographer under the banner of Somerville Photography, with projects not unlike his engineering that take him coast to coast and even overseas. Wendell does both one-man and group art shows, projects that span cityscapes to flowers to portraiture, also in black and white as well as color. So, you know, Wendell, on the show, we've talked about people that manage their 9-to-5 life and their 5-to-9 life, but you're doing both of these at the same time, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much so. Well,
pretty much. It's a lot of coordinating.
So share with our listeners the journey you went through in pursuing an engineering education, perhaps, versus maybe art school.
So let's turn the clock way back to the 70s, a long time ago. I grew up in a really artistic family. Actually, most of my family members are musicians. They're really good. I had no skill at the piano or a guitar or drums or anything, but I was always interested in the visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, as a young man unable to play an instrument, I started drawing. But after a while, I kind of figured out that I wasn't any good at drawing, and then randomly in middle school, I discovered a photography club, which was just four people tucked away in a closet in the middle school, where they had an enlarger and some sinks for chemicals and
sure.
really cheap plastic cameras, and we fooled around with those for a year. And I really liked it. I thought it added a lot of it captured some of the aspects of art that I was looking for, but at the age of 11 or 12, I didn't really understand what aesthetic I was hunting for.
You know what? What I really laugh, Wendell, when the information you provided, these Holga cameras, right? I mean, my husband Ted, he did a photography class just a couple years ago, and instead of them using digital cameras, the professor had them get Holgas, which are almost like duct taped together, right? Plastic cameras from, are they Russian, if I recall?
Yeah, they're Russian. They're full of light leaks. They're made of the cheapest plastic you could find. You have to tape them together to keep light from getting in.
Right, but actually that's where the charm and the learning came from, because, you know, you as a photographer, your job really is to manage light, isn't it?
Right, right. Well, you know, those cameras were, when I was a kid, they were not thought of in high esteem, but nowadays they're very popular, and many photographers at the professional level use those for all the reasons you just named, the mismatch in lighting, the strange light effect you get through the lenses, because none of the lenses are... You know, they're not like Nikon lenses or yeah. Carl Zeiss lenses. The camera costs like $12.
Exactly. So from your experience in middle school, did you continue doing your photography then in any formal way as you entered high school?
No, capped it. Photography club was super lame when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah, it's not
and
cool.
And so I kind of faded out of that and just kind of went through high school. And I also had a pretty good, I picked up arts or science and math really easily. And through high school, that was the kind of the path that my parents and my counselors saw as a good career opportunity for me. And I enjoyed the sciences and math as well, which is kind of a strange thing to say, but I did like them. It wasn't until much later in life that I saw the relationship between art and science. Mm-hmm. Got through high school, did a little bit more photography, not too much. Tried, dabbled in creative writing. That at the time that was something I really hadn't tried and had a better vocabulary by then, so I could spend more time on it. And went into college, went off to engineering school, and got to learn way more math than I ever really wanted to, and science. But got involved in a writing group at that point. And by then I was a little bit older, and I was able to really explore writing as an art form. And I kind of discovered that I couldn't capture in writing the kind of realism or point of view that I wanted to get out of art. And that eventually led me back to photography.
Beautiful.
So the tie-in to science was that science really is a lot about realism, mm-hmm. in that way. And I think that became one of the ties for me.
Isn't that fascinating? Your career then at General Motors, you started relatively young then, and you've still been with the company and had a variety of test engineering design experiences, right?
That's right. I started right out of high school as a co-op student. I've been with GM ever since. And that's where we met.
Of course,
back back in 19 blah, blah, blah. I won't mention it for you.
Exactly. And, you know, the prospect of our work together, I recall that you were one that always loved working the test labs and the validation area at the onset of your career. And I'm thinking that there's something that goes back to that whole structure and experimentation side, perhaps in your art and your photography.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's absolutely right. Well, to begin with, who would not enjoy breaking things at their job? A great job, and to use really expensive equipment to break stuff, you know, you can't really beat that. And it was fun, and it was a lot of experimenting, and you had to create ways to break things in new ways, because it seemed like year after year, every year there was a new engineering challenge that somehow we had never been thought of before, and yet here it was in front of you, and the task was to figure out how to recreate it and duplicate it and make the problem go away.
And even be able to also turn the problem on and off, right, to even understand at that level.
Yeah, invent a test that could show that here's the problem and here's how it was fixed. And these are the equipment that we used and the programs that we wrote in order to get it done. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
The type of engineering sector, then, I know you've really acquired a lot of expertise is in the body systems area, and particularly the whole windshield wipers and so on. Of course, that was also an area I had some expertise in, and I remember when I was first assigned there, I said, oh, how lame. Come on, guys. I'm a suspension person. I love racing cars. And never did I realize until I got into it the humbling engineering problems associated with vision management through the windshield.
Yeah, it's and a few people go to college and think, you know, one day I'm going to be a wiper engineer.
That's right.
And it's not the most super cool job you could ever get, but it turned out it's really challenging, and it involves you've got an electromechanical system that has to work in the rain, and it's attached to metal arms and the cheapest rubber you can find, and the only time you use it is when you absolutely need it. And that's usually when people discover there's something wrong with it.
That's right.
And it has to be perfect, because then you're a driver of an expensive vehicle, and the wipers are right in your face. And people, drivers, customers, they have a strong opinion about the wiper function. So it's always a challenge, but I enjoy the challenges. And
well, it's not just the customers. I can recall many of days and many of internal battles with the styling department because of where the wipers got placed on the windshield, where they would park, as we'd say, in the vernacular of the wiper world, and how the stylists who are looking at the total esoteric view of the vehicle, that no, we want these things hidden. And depending upon how the air flows and so on, it's not always possible to do that.
Yeah, it still goes on today, Sarah.
Still does. I figure, well, now, Wendell, there we go back to the fact, you know, are there any new problems to solve, right? The opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift a bit. Let me shift to your artwork and your photography specifically, since I indeed have had the pleasure of watching your career in this area manifest as well. The days of you're doing a lot of black and white, really interesting night photos and cityscapes, all the way to spectacular flowers and color. It's unusual, isn't it, Wendell, that someone would work both in black and white and the color medium?
You know, I think, it is unusual. Most photographers will stick with one. But you get different challenges between black and white and color. But I remember reading an article, and I'm drawing a blank on the photographer's name. He had made a switch from black and white to color, and the thing that he said that really got into my mind was he shot his color photography. It was black and white photos, but with colors.
Hmm.
And that really changed my mind about, why not can I shoot color photography? Why do I only have to shoot black and white?
Black and white, yeah. And
so
the idea,
it's more of a mindset.
It's a mindset. I would agree with that. The other side, from an artistic standpoint, too, is, you know, you have in the painting world, as you know as well, you have the idea of doing studio art or plein air when you're out in the open environment. And I see you do both of those because you do, you know, studio setup of gorgeous flowers, black backgrounds with brilliant, vibrant white and light. And then on the flip side, you're getting portraiture of your wife and others in the open elements.
Never occurred to me that those were different.
Is that right?
Until just now.
Until just now. Okay. So the idea that you don't view you're looking through a rectangle, in other words.
I think that if, I would say that before you pick up the camera or your paintbrush, you have some ideas about what you want to accomplish, and you create a plan, and then you go and I'm making it sound very sterile, but you do have to have an idea of what you're about to go do before you do it, or you're just wasting time. So I have an idea of what I want on the final image, and then I create the final image in my head and then execute it. And so if that involves going outdoors, then that's kind of where I find myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if it involves being indoors, that's where I go. Now, to your point, viewers have more of an opinion about indoor versus outdoor photography and black and white versus color than, say, the photographer may have.
That's an interesting point. I wouldn't doubt that. Well, I can understand how your engineering background would inform your photography in terms of, and also your computer know-how, with your working in the digital toys department as well. Share with us, though, how your photography and your artistic part of your life informs your engineering life.
So most people, even I am sometimes challenged to see how getting to the office on time and doing work can be affected by art. But what I really am able to thread between them is a love for creativity. Right? I enjoy finding creative solutions to problems, whether they be technical or organization issues or dealing with people. And when you're in the art business, you're very likely to get a ton of criticism and fail a lot in an effort to get better. And I find that in the workplace, many people are kind of frozen in their tracks with a fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
But since we had so many opportunities to fail and succeed, I rarely am worried about this isn't going to work out, because I always have in my head, if it doesn't work out today, I'll get it tomorrow.
That aspect of constantly learning and switching it up.
That's right. Okay, I'll learn from what I did today, and definitely tomorrow I'll be better than I was today.
So do you feel you ever have any challenge of managing two full-time careers, in other words?
Yes, definitely. know, because it's two separate careers that you try to what I try to do is integrate them in my head so that I don't ignore one versus the other. But it's really unavoidable. If there is a crisis in the office, then I need to be focused on that. And if that means that photography has to take a back seat, then I have to do that. Now, your GM isn't so happy about me doing photography work at the tech center, but I can find, I draw the ties between the work that I do as far as, through communicating with people and kind of an understanding of current events, I interact with people who are completely outside of the art business. And I try to use that knowledge to improve my photography.
Absolutely. Well, also, you know, now that you're a manager also at General Motors, all the skills that it takes to run a team, manage tasks, lay out budgets, and so on, those are very similar skills and necessity to run your own business, aren't they?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Right. And it works together. You have to have, you know, one interesting thing is that many people in the art business have no, they don't get that constant exposure to a professional environment, so they don't understand the necessity to be professional mm-hmm. in those types of situations. And I've certainly learned that lesson from GM.
And that is meeting deadlines, you mean, and staying on task and asking for feedback. I find interesting, though, your comment about the whole area of dealing with rejection. I think you're right, that's for anyone who's artistic. That's one, you know, capability you want to look for constantly, is to build your muscles in that rejection side and know that really that criticism is intended to inform your work in a new way.
Yeah, that's right. You can learn more from a critic than you can from, I guess, a fan.
Yeah, that's fair. So you're also saying that time when you sit down and get your annual performance review to have a little bit thicker skin as well, if you aren't necessarily told all the nice things you've done for the year.
Yeah, I think sometimes my immediate supervisors are stunned when, I don't really, at this point in my career, I really don't get any much negative criticism. I think I've got the whole thing nailed. but when they do pass on a comment, I never take it as a personal attack.
Right.
I just see it as something that they saw that I did that I probably didn't see that I was doing, and then I go try to fix it.
That's a good point. That's well put. I mentioned in the introduction, Wendell, that, of course, you've always had a passion for computers and a sixth sense about them, by the way. I was sharing with Jim here in the studio beforehand that when we worked together, if ever I needed to know what really was going on in the IT department, I would dispatch you to go figure it out and come and tell us so we could stay one step ahead of it. But the fact that you're here later in life pursuing a master's in information technology, just you're keeping your mind fresh, or you feel there's really some new frontiers you've yet to even realize might be pulling you in that direction?
Yeah, I think that I still like it. It's still something that I didn't pursue IT path in college, and every now and then I wonder, you know, if I could go back to 1982 and sit down with my student counselor and tell her that computers aren't a fad, I would tell her that and pursue that. And now that, you know, 20 years later, I think, you know, maybe that would have been an interesting career for me, and I can at least now afford to go and get a master's degree in IT management, even if I never used it as a career. It was just kind of one of those things I wanted to do for myself.
That's right. It's a beautiful way to consider in that lifetime learning. And, you know, had you done that, you wouldn't have had the chance to work on some of these great products on Camaros and Corvettes and the like.
That's true.
At the same time, it might have crowded out your desire to find this creative outlet through your photography.
Well, you know, that's the funny thing about hindsight. You know, who knows where I would have landed had I taken that route. Could have been better or worse. I'm pretty happy with where I've landed, though. I have a good situation with in both careers and a great wife, and things are really good.
That's wonderful. Well, Wendell Somerville, thank you so much for joining us today on Circles of Change. For those folks interested in looking at your artwork, where could they find you on the web, Wendell?
That's at www.wendellsummerville.com. WendellSummerville. It's a lot of letters, but...
There you go. And those who want to get in touch to carry this conversation further with Wendell, his phone number is area code 248-709-7883 in Michigan. And I would guarantee when you take the opportunity to open up his website, be ready for your breath to be taken away for not just the black and white portraits and color versions, but really tremendous cityscapes and beautiful flowers. So, Wendell, thanks again for contributing the show today.
Well, thank you. It's been a wonderful experience.
You bet. Take care. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.